Another endearingly shambolic podcast from WeDigPodcasts.com.
You're listening to Free With This Month's Issue. As always, please support the bands and artists featured in each episode by buying their records and going to their gigs. Each episode we'll be adding all available tracks to our ongoing Spotify playlist, which you can find on WeDigPodcasts.com. You can also find our other episodes and podcasts there. If you want to agree with us, or more likely argue with us, or even appear in a future episode, you can find us on Twitter at This Month's Issue and Facebook at Free With This Month's Issue. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, then let people know. Like, subscribe, review it on iTunes, tattoo it on your forehead, etc. Right, let's get on with it then.
Hello, I'm Ian.
And I'm Colin.
And this is Free With This Month's Issue, the podcast where we listen to an old CD from the front of a music magazine, like Kerrang, Melody Maker, NME, Rock Sound, etc., etc., and pontificate about the tracks. Usually with a bit of history about what was going on at the time as well.
Yeah, musically.
Often with a guest.
Yes.
Often.
But not this time.
No.
Or next time.
Because, or the time after that.
No, the time after that, we have.
Okay, then.
Because we've already recorded that.
Yes, that's a
this
good
is
point.
Some kind of weird time travel shit going on here, where we're recording the pilot episodes after we've already recorded two other episodes.
But no one knew that until we told them.
Yeah, but we'd tell them later on, because it might be sounding really rough.
Ah, yeah, good point.
So,
this is your choice.
It is.
What CD are we talking about, Colin?
Okay, well, this time I've chosen Radio Kerrang Volume 5, which is from a issue of Kerrang from February the 21st, 1998.
I remember it upsettingly vividly.
Yeah.
Be it 20 years ago.
21 years ago.
Shit.
Over 21 years ago at the point where we're recording this.
Oh, that's upsetting.
It is, isn't it? Unusually, I've actually managed to get hold of the magazine.
That's pretty impressive. Which is, it's a really good, like, really good quality.
Yeah,
copy of it as well.
I think it's been in some kind of time capsule somewhere.
Yeah,
and then somebody put it on eBay. It's even got the posters in it still,
which is impressive. Yes. Considering the posters.
Yes. So I was reading the magazine earlier this week, yeah, and I remember there's like a bank advert in it, and it's like, fucking hell, I even remember a bank advert.
No, that's when I flicked through it. I was like, ah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I remember those gig posters. I remember that tour happening.
It's weird.
That's why I didn't read any of the articles, just for fear that I would remember it word for word.
Yes.
And think, okay, so that's why I can't remember all kinds of really salient bits, yeah, of information
useful
that I learned
things
in school.
because we were reading Kerrang and Metal Hammer and NME. Yep. And, it's an issue with Soulfly on the cover. Max Cavalera from Sepultura unveiling his new band, basically.
Yes.
This was sort of the big unveiling, big cover feature, and they've got an exclusive track on the CD.
No.
Yes.
So that is there. Indeed the track. But we'd all heard Bleed before that.
Had we? I thought this was
Bleed,
the first one.
I believe, had been released as a single before this.
Oh.
Or on another CD, possibly a Metal Hammer, but I'm pretty certain I'd heard Bleed already.
I think it might have been Radio it had been released to or something.
I was
I don't think it was
massive fanboy.
So. Yes.
Massive Cavalera fanboy.
Indeed. I've managed to teach my daughter, who's 2.5, to say Ratamahata whenever she sees Max Cavalera.
Because that's cool. The only thing, Max Cavalera, that you've really focused on, isn't it?
Like, it's my favourite Sepultura song. But yeah, so what was going on in the music world in February 1998.
Yes.
The UK number one was the utterly fucking terrible My Heart Will Go On by Sea Lion Dion.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
The number one album was Urban Hymns by The Verve.
Oh.
Yeah. So let's just gloss over that lot entirely.
Yes, yes, yes.
There was a few good albums released that month. Pearl Jam's Yield. In an Aeroplane Over the Sea by Neutral Milk Hotel, that you won't like, but some of the people listening will. And Human Waste Project Elux.
Which I do like, yes.
Most of you won't probably know what it is, but it's fucking brilliant. You should track it down.
Also, if you've listened to our other podcast, we've done an entire episode on
On the Start, which is their band.
But we cover Human Waste Project a lot
in that episode.
Like,
yes.
like, it's a 50-50 split, basically. It's an Amy Echo love fest, as opposed to out else, really.
Yes.
But that's no bad thing.
No, definitely not. So the biggest news story in the music world in that month was Rob Halford from Judas Priest publicly coming out as gay.
Was that the... Because he came out in the best way possible, didn't he? Like, that was the MTV interview
where he
said, well, as a gay man, I think this. So not even like, I've got a big announcement, just that's my preface to this question. And everyone's like, wait, what? You've been wearing these, like,
biker
stereotypical
leather.
Gay biker hats and chaps and studs and stuff for years, and you're gay?
But
I never saw that coming.
In the issue of Kerrang, they've done, like, a Your Say on Halford, where they've asked various fans how this massive announcement has affected them, and they've pretty much all gone, said, fair enough, don't really... give a shit either way. It's fine. Which is good.
Yes, good old embracing rock fans.
Yes.
Does he still do cool songs? He does, doesn't he?
Well, actually, at that point, he was just releasing his 2 project.
That's actually pretty decent.
Which is his industrial stuff, so yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was John 5.
John 5 from Marilyn Manson's band. Although, wasn't it before he was in Marilyn Manson's
band? Well,
yes,
before.
Yes, it was.
And he was also in Rob Zombie's band after that.
Yes.
As well. And having seen interviews with him, is the dullest human being in existence. One of the fun games his live band play on stage is, let's try not to make any mistakes.
Yeah.
He sounds like one of those passive-aggressive parents, like, let's eat as tidily as possibly, children.
Why don't we all try and tidy the room up?
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Let's see how quickly you can get all of the toys back in the right place.
To be fair, I have to do that one fairly often.
Sounds like a shit game.
It does, but yeah. Anyway, I think we should probably get on with listening to the CD.
You think?
So it starts a little bit unusually. A couple of these Radio Kerrang CDs, they had a intro where they'd just gone and got a rock star that wasn't necessarily appearing on the CD to do a contractual obligation intro ident type thing.
Yes, because it was Radio Kerrang.
It was, so...
You had to make it sound like the radio.
I think we should play that in full first.
Yes.
And then we'll just go straight into the first track.
No.
Yes.
What's up? This is Chino from Deftones. Up to about 5 minutes ago, I was just minding my own business, hanging out in London. And then these motherfuckers from Kerrang burst in and asked me to say a few words and welcomed you to the latest installment of Radio Kerrang, where the music's loud and it's free. You got tons of cool shit on here. I guarantee you it'll sound even better if you turn your stereo all the way up to 10. So enjoy Radio Kerrang, Volume 5, and keep your ears open for more noise from Deftones soon. This is Chino Moreno signing out.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, right, and say that Max was attempting to appeal to a different demographic.
Okay, that was No by Soulfly, as we alluded to previously.
So, like, obviously Roots by Sepultura was an incredibly new metal-y album.
Yeah.
But with the fact that it sounded basically fuck all like Sepultura, apart from Max obviously sounding like Max.
Yeah.
And there being lots of tribal drums.
Yes, it was very different to Chaos AD.
Yes. But quite a lot similar to Korn.
Yes, because so, Ross Robinson.
Exactly. Sepultura, after Max left, went and were like, fuck that shit, let's continue being like a thrash metal band. And Max went, can I downtune my guitars more?
Didn't he only have 4 strings on
it at that point? Yes, yes. Still, I believe,
right,
only has 4 strings. But his lyrical output... very, very much suffered on this album, I'm going to say, right? Like,
no fake smiles, no bullshit, no motherfucking Hootie and the Blowfish.
Exactly, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I think he may be... I mean, for UK audiences,
Yeah.
I don't believe that Hootie and the Blowfish were as much of a threat.
Not really. There was like one track, but that like that lyric was the one that got mentioned in every single review. It's like, yeah, look at this amazing lyric. Like, no, Max Cavalera wrote some fucking amazing political... Like, he's not a fucking incisive lyricist, but he's written some really good political stuff.
Particularly considering English is his second language.
Yes.
Because he's Brazilian, for anybody that isn't aware.
So,
Portuguese.
Yeah.
I still really dig that track, though.
It's a great track. It is. It's just very, very simple.
Yes. But it's got the cool drum and bass bit at the end.
Yes.
And it's like where they're messing with the filters on the entire fucking track.
But like Bleed itself, the lead single from there, was like... It made like Fred Durst sound like a good lyricist. I really loved this album at the time, but it has not aged well at all. I've listened to old Sepultura a lot. I listen to new Sepultura occasionally. You know what new Soulfly sounds like?
No.
New Sepultura.
Okay.
So I feel like even Max was like, it's a bit of a, it's basically only Korn that are still like, I want to write songs about being fingered as a child and cry.
Fucking hell. I think on that note, should we go on to the next track?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. What have we got? Oh, I fucking love this intro. So, Cold.
Yes.
By Cruel World. The absolute first time I ever used the bridge pickup on my guitar. For anything other than going, well, this sounds a bit muddy.
I really like that track.
It's fucking great.
They went a little bit more nu metal on their later stuff.
Yes.
But that, it's like post-grunge, but with nu metal production.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really messy production-wise album. Like, it's fucking great.
Isn't it another Ross Robinson?
It is
production,
but yes. I think it's his most organic-sounding thing. Like,
okay.
There's some really, really like ugly. The ballad on there is just fucking.
Yeah.
It's so crustily produced and lo-fi. It's amazing.
But then on Goodbye Cruel World, the clean guitar that comes in the chorus, is. The contrast between that and the sort of really dirgy rhythm guitar is fantastic.
Yeah, I also really love the fact that like there are pictures of the band coming up at this point. we always do this. One of them looks like a member of the cast of the Addams Family because he's got these big fuck off mutton chops and eyeliner on
him. I was thinking more Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It's a bit Rocky Horror, but my girlfriend at the time used to have a massive thing for the guitarist because he was really effeminate and like had chin length hair and stuff, and now he just. He just doesn't look like that anymore, which I quite like.
Also, I'm imagining these are probably old pictures that the people listening aren't seeing anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, if you stick the CD in an Xbox, these are the pictures.
Basically,
that come
the singer always looks the same, which is basically like a skull.
And his name is Scooter.
Scooter Ward.
Scooter Ward, yeah.
Yes.
Who I always thought sounded exactly like Gavin Rossdale with worse enunciation.
Gavin Rossdale with wool in his mouth.
Yeah. I put a... Before I got the CD from you...
Yeah.
Because Ian owns this CD, I got forced to get rid of my CDs years... My free CDs years ago.
Really?
Thanks, Donna.
Oh.
but, yeah, I was watching a load of the stuff on YouTube just to familiarise myself with the track list. And it came up with a lyric video for Goodbye Cruel World.
Wow.
Turns out, pretty much none of what I thought he was singing are the lyrics.
Isn't it, "Well, all my friends have broken all down," or something like that, to make a mess of me? Or?
Yes, I thought it was to make a mass of men.
Ah.
Which I didn't know what he was on about there.
It's basically the same sentence sung over and over again, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's a great song.
It's cool, I dig it.
Yeah, I love the intro and then the way those fucking horrifically sludgy guitars come in.
I
do love that.
Shall we go for the next one?
Dig it. Yes.
Boom.
Let's do that. Call the Spade a Spade, right? They're an indie band.
They are, but they're a fucking rock. They're an indie rock band, particularly at that point.
If all indie sounded like that, I'd probably have enjoyed it more.
Yeah, so that was Idlewild's Self Healer.
They definitely progressed to be a proper indie band later on, didn't they? With big sweeping songs.
They basically became sort of REM influenced kind of thing later on.
The second best Roddy.
Yeah.
I'm going to say.
After Rowdy Roddy Piper.
No, Roddy Bottom.
Oh, of course, yes.
Roddy Bottom.
From Faith No More.
Yes.
Yeah, Idlewild, early Idlewild, I absolutely fucking loved.
It sounds exactly like I'd expect you to like it.
Yes, that was from Captain, their mini album. There's a track on it called Annihilate Now, which is absolutely fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Really, really good. My sister had the CD and I stole it off her.
Yeah, because they are all like quite attractive young men, aren't they?
They are. But yeah, they were sort of Fugazi, Dinosaur Jr. influence, kind of indie rock.
I definitely got the Dinosaur Jr. thing about.
So good live at the time.
Yeah.
I saw them do a gig, I believe, in that year with supporting Ash. And Idlewild. Ash were good, but Idlewild were loads better.
I think, on average, all the Idlewild tracks I've heard have been better than all of the Ash tracks I've heard.
Yeah, I would say I do really dig Petrol, which is a really early Ash song from summer 1977.
Like, I don't dislike Ash, I just think that I'd put them very much in the same ballpark, but these are better.
Cool, let's go for the next track.
All right. So, that was Bombed Out of My Mind. Bombed Brackets Out of My Mind.
Closed
Brackets. Backyard Babies. I gotta say, right, at the time, there were a lot of bands doing this kind of stuff. Like,
and Dragon was in at least two of them.
Yeah, this is like Swedish rock and roll stuff. Like,
yeah, she was also in The Helicopters.
Yeah, yeah, which was formed by Nick Anderson.
From Entombed.
The old drummer from Entombed.
Yeah.
I was super disappointed, because Entombed did What's It to Ride, Shoot Straight and Speak the Truth, which was basically
a rock and roll
album, but it was pretty badass. And then Helicopters were not great.
There was one Helicopters album that's got a cloud on it, which was a little bit later. I can't remember what the album's
like
called.
I'm more that's into great. It now in like Turbo Negro and stuff like that. It was all the same kind of time, wasn't it? But then this track happened and I was like, no, this is fucking great, I love this.
To my knowledge, I think this is the only song that I know of that has appeared on two different Kerrang CDs.
Oh.
It was also on the Best of 98 CD later this year.
It's because it's great.
Yeah, which was another CD I was thinking of doing.
It's my favourite Backyard Baby song.
Yeah, I think it's everyone's favourite Backyard Baby song.
It's not Andy's one, because that's the one that's got that pussy cat.
Right, yeah.
Shut up! Which is also really good. They're a fun band.
They are.
Can we tell that's I wasn't at the gig, but didn't my ex Laura meet Dragon and just cry?
Yes, I was standing next to her at the time. Backyard Babies were supporting Monster Magnet and Rob Zombie. And she met Dragon and was quite overcome and just burst into tears.
Hilariously, at the same gig, the guitarist from SA10, Carl, met Riggs, the then guitarist from Rob Zombie, and went, "What's it like crewing for Rob Zombie?" And he went, "I wouldn't know, I'm the fucking guitarist." And just stamped off in a huff.
That's brilliant, because at the same gig...
Yeah.
So there's not only... that's two people that got asked nearly the same question.
Amazing.
I was standing there talking to most of Monster Magnet, and I was really excited by this.
Yeah.
And Gumby,
yeah,
who's a fucking bellend,
yeah,
and is also very, very short-sighted, came and started asking their guitarist what it's like being in Rob Zombie's band. To which he stormed off. So they probably talked about that in the tour bus later on, saying, "We're never coming back to Wolverhampton."
Yeah, fuck Wolverhampton.
A
phrase echoed by many people who went to Wolverhampton.
Next one.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
So that was 12 Rods, or that is 12 Rods, Red.
Yeah.
I honestly have no memory of this.
I have. I love this track.
I can see why I've got no memory of it.
Kerrang made a really big thing about how much the singer sounds like Ozzy.
He does.
Yes, very much
he does.
So.
And he's not trying to conceal that at all,
no,
is he?
They're from Minneapolis.
Hey, the intro kind of, it was like, oh, is this going to sound, this is a bit industrial, isn't it? This is, and then it kind of built, and I'm like, maybe a bit toolish. No.
They kind of fitted in with a lot of, there were a lot of bands like Our Lady Peace and that kind of thing around about the time. The like, sort of.
Kind of, it's pretty alternative. Nickelback, alternative grungy.
Oh, no, that's uncharitable.
Yes, well, I didn't like it, did I? So I'm not allowed to be. Don't have to be charitable when I don't like something. Like, even the dude in this picture behind the lead singer looks like he wants to be in Puddle of Mud.
This is before Puddle of Mud.
Yes.
This is proto-Puddle of Mud. I quite liked a couple of songs on their first album when it came out. I don't now.
I honestly...
Did I just fucking admit that?
To liking Puddle of Mud?
Oh.
You did. Well, there you go.
Blurry song wasn't too
now
bad.
Now you fucking hate them.
Yeah.
Yes, tell me more.
Indeed.
Have you noticed how She Fucking Hates Me sounds like Summer Lovin' from Greece?
Yes.
Is it because I told you? Because I...
Yeah, I think we were loudly singing it while they were on stage at Leeds Festival one year.
That's amazing.
I think you were with us.
Maybe.
If not, you'd given us the idea at the Jailhouse prior to that. I remember really, really loving this track at the time.
Yeah.
And for some reason not buying the album. It was a mini album called Gay with a question mark. And there was another Kerrang CD later on that had another track on there called Make Out Music.
Right.
It was on Kerrang SummerSlam, the one with the skateboard on.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think I probably skipped it on there as
I
well.
I really like both tracks, and for some reason never got round to buying the CD. I nearly did once. And I went a couple of months back to think, 12 Rods, I remember them. I'm going to buy that. I know it wasn't on vinyl, but I'll have a look how much the CD is. Goes for about 100 fucking quid on
what
discount
on
now.
Earth?
Yeah.
because the three people that remember them are really excited about the album.
Yeah. And didn't buy it from Spinadisc in Coventry at the time.
Yeah.
I think I picked it up the same day as I bought Cowboys from Hell. And I bought that one instead. I'm sure you'll approve of that decision.
And I think you will approve of that
decision. Yeah, actually, it's
probably a better
album. I feel
like that's a 100% correct decision.
Yeah. Should we go for the next
one? We're still talking about one of those bands.
We are. Let's go for the next one. Know this one.
Yep, this is Scrimmager live.
Scrimmager.
Scrimmager.
I've always said Screamager.
Yeah, Scream. It's meant to be Teenager.
That's what
it?
I thought.
Like a pun. I just said it wrong. Alright. Therapy are great.
They are. The drummer properly fucked up that drum fill though, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, that was when they were putting a lot of things in their noses.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
It's a live version from the London Astoria about a month before, and it's sloppy as fuck.
Five Ewing was a fucking phenomenal drummer.
Yes.
Like, he was definitely the most talented musician in Therapy.
Yeah.
The dude they have now is good, though.
Yeah.
Also, he's from Derby and was the drum teacher of a girl who played in a band that we did some gigs with.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
I can't remember the name of that band.
But...
Or her.
Doesn't matter.
But that was a thing.
Excellent.
Yeah, I fucking love Screamager.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Troublegum album is an absolute fucking
classic. Was the soundtrack to my... frustrated teenage years.
Yes.
Like, more so than Dookie and Offspring's Smash. Because it spoke to me in a more...
It was less Californian.
Yes.
So like it was a bit easier to relate to, I suppose.
It's a very relatable album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Particularly if Heaven kicked you out because you wouldn't wear a tie.
Well, I often don't wear ties.
And get kicked out of gay clubs.
Yeah. By the time we play this out on air, I will potentially have worn a cravat at my wedding.
Nah, this goes out before that.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be talking about wearing a cravat.
Next episode will be after that.
Well, there you go.
if all goes to plan, I'll edit that. If not.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
No, I mean if all goes to plan with editing it in time.
Ah, right.
I don't mean if the wedding goes to plan. That's
fucking hell, Colin.
Should we go for the next track?
Yes. So, Shostakovich by Symposium.
Yes.
You fucking loved Symposium.
I did.
Kerrang loved them as well, and I never quite made the connection.
Kerrang were a little bit hot and cold, even in this one issue.
Yeah.
They'd got, obviously there's an exclusive track on the CD, this one.
Yep.
There was a big feature with them where they were bigging them up. And then on the singles page,
someone who isn't on the same editorial page,
no,
giving them a fucking ribbon.
The singles were reviewed by Moore at this issue.
Ah, okay.
Who
is very, very punk.
He is, and he reviewed Average Man and gave it 1K.
Ah.
Saying, a horribly chirpy and contented 60s throwback ditty that brings to mind fresh-faced, wholesome Mummies boys who smile far too much.
They did alternate between doing this kind of noisiness and quite pop punky.
They started out very chirpy, happy pop punk. An Average Man was the tail end of that stuff.
And then they did
the next album, they'd heard Deftones.
Yes, you can tell.
Yes.
You can tell. What was the name of the guitarist that Kerrang properly fucking loved and they were always talking about him?
Wojtek.
That's the one.
There's Wojtek and Hagop.
Isn't Wojtek, isn't his surname Godsize or something like that?
Yeah, Godsize, or almost certainly completely mangling the pronunciation on that.
But they fucking loved him. They were always talking about him.
They did, and there's a fucking brilliant quote from him in the interview.
Yeah.
There's a little side box piece about the particular track, Shostakovich.
Yeah.
Where there's a quote for him saying, "Shostakovich is like nothing else we've ever done. It's a mad song," continues Wojtek. "If you listen to the end of the song, you can hear Hagop shouting Ricky in the background. Wicked." Oh, they were quite young kids.
There was a Structures gig where we played the end of a song and we decided that we wanted screamy backing vocals. We only did it once, right? And just before we went on stage, E turned to me and went, "What are we going to sing?" That bit. And I was like, it was a gig where Mark Wallace had done a solo set as well. So for the entire last like minute of the song, we just went, "Duh, duh, Mark! Duh, duh, Mark!"
Did he notice?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Did anyone else notice? No.
No.
Because you were at that gig.
Yeah, I didn't then. Symposium, another brilliant live band.
Yeah?
I saw them round about this sort of time, supporting A. And the same night, it must have been Wolverhampton Civic and Wolfram Hall, which is the same building with two venues in, must have had some kind of deal with Kerrang to do with this particular CD.
Right.
Because next door in the Civic were Soulfly, supported by Cold and, I think, possibly Clawfinger. Or maybe Psycho.
There's an advert for that tour there. It's not Psycho.
Okay, great.
Because I saw Clawfinger and Psycho on a different tour.
Right. That particular gig, I was at the Symposium one.
Yeah.
And my dad had come to pick me up, and he was waiting, standing outside, for us to come out at the
end. Got in conversation with Max Cavalera?
No, there were these kids that had been kicked out of the Soulfly gig for crowd surfing.
Yeah.
Because they used to, at that time, have these one crowd surf rule, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You could crowd surf once. If they saw you again, they'd kick you out. And there were apparently these two kids who were little skinny 14-year-olds, just two of them standing outside going, "Can't believe we've been kicked out. Let's start a riot," which obviously wasn't going to work.
And I'm sure your dad found that to be hilarious.
He thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
Next track.
Okay. We'll be right back.
And I'm faced by the thorn.
Texture Live by Catherine Wheel.
It was. They were from Great Yarmouth.
They're one of those, but like Kerrang were mad for Catherine Wheel at this point, weren't they?
They were. They're a band that had been hanging around for fucking ages.
Yeah.
They started in the early 90s.
You can tell that.
They've definitely got the shoegazing kind of sound.
But not. It's not good shoegaze, is it?
It's not really, no. Their singer and guitarist is a guy called Rob Dickinson.
Yes.
He's Bruce Dickinson's cousin. And I think that's the only interesting thing I found out about them.
I remember them being in Kerrang all the time, and like I've got a tape, like from when Kerrang did tapes with a Catherine Wheel track on
one of the ones with the robots on the front.
Supersonic
Volume 1 or 2.
Yes. And I remember always fast forwarding past it because it sucked and I wanted to listen to more Paradise Lost.
Yeah, it's a lot easier with the CD, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, bleep, gone. Thank you.
Let's go for the next one.
Yeah, yeah. That's all we got to say about you. Like, it sounds like it's really neighbouring something that I'd like nowadays.
I've got written here, not going to go out and buy the album, but it's not horrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
it's very textural.
Indeed.
Weirdly.
Skip it. Someone's gonna have to stop me soon if I hurt myself. You're far too willing to believe it when I say I don't need your help. One of these days you're gonna find me sleeping with someone else. And on that day you're gonna hear me say I can't help myself. I'm going to drive right over the edge. But open every chance I get. This is Can't Help Myself. Edit by Felines. How long is the original version? I don't know.
It's like 4.5 minutes.
And it's really fucking meandering at the end.
Yeah.
It's Feline.
It sounds a lot like The Last from Republica.
It's Saffron, yes.
Yeah, Saffron from Republica.
They've got another song that was on a Select magazine free CD.
Yeah.
A track called Release that's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, right.
I really, really love that song. And I'm glad I didn't buy the album as a result, because that's
probably
fucking
most
terrible.
Yeah, it's like they're a Riot Girl also ran, aren't they?
Yeah, sort of. The singer was a lady called Grog.
Oh, she went on to be
Diso Fluid.
That's the one.
Was her band afterwards,
yes.
Yeah.
Who, I can't remember whether they were any good, but
no, neither can I.
They definitely got a lot more
goth, I think.
A lot more goth and a lot more airtime as well.
Yeah.
But it's a better name as well.
And Release by Feline is definitely worth tracking down.
Okay.
Nice sort of slow burny type clean with really nice slide guitar bits on it.
Cool.
It's ace. Yeah. But I think we're probably going to go on to the next track.
It wasn't offensive.
No.
It's just I've heard a billion songs like that.
Yeah.
Caned by Addict.
Yes.
This was there's no excuse for how fucking out of key that harmony is after the stop.
Yeah.
Like, I thought maybe it was just a one-time thing, but it happened on the second one.
So it was deliberate.
Yeah. There were so many bands that sounded like this.
There were, and they were signed to V2 Records, which all of them were, I think. Early Stereophonics.
Yeah,
It reminds me
but
of.
But obviously, like, more edgy because they're called Addict.
Yes, and the song's called Caned. Oh. See, they've kept the theme there.
They're like, yeah, we like drugs.
Yeah. And I think their album was called, like,
We Like Drugs.
Rocks or something, but it had got a picture of a load of stones, so it could be, like, the Stones.
Oh.
Potentially.
Oh, that's clever.
I don't know if it is.
No, it's not.
This is kind of the sort of sag in the middle of this CD.
The last few tracks. Because my Xbox, like the app that we're using, isn't picking up pictures of these bands.
Well, Addict, whenever you... when you look up any information on them, like I don't think there's a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
There's an All Music page, and I found a thing on Last FM, and they all say something like, the album did not sell and they did nothing afterwards.
It's not a shocker, is it? It's very, very fucking... Where are they even from? It sounds American as fuck, but I feel like they are.
They are from Cambridge, I think. It doesn't say here, but I believe they're from Cambridge.
It's very dull. Very dull.
Next track.
It's gonna get good now. That was the fucking kickassery of Hold Your Head Up by Clawfinger.
Yes.
I'm going to go on record as saying that up until I saw Refused, these were like one of the best live bands I'd ever seen. They're fucking stellar live.
And they're both Swedish as well.
Apart from the lead singer.
Oh, is he not Swedish?
Zach Tell from Clawfinger is from Stoke.
No.
Yeah, did you not know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, man, he's a Stokey.
I assumed that, because his lyrics are always a little bit clunky,
yeah.
I thought that was English was his second language.
No.
I suppose, actually, if he's from Stoke, it might be basically, his second language, yeah. Basically.
Honestly, he's the coolest person to come out of Stoke.
Lemmy.
He's Lemmy from Stoke.
Lemmy's from Stoke.
Oh, it's second coolest.
Yeah. Like, Slash as well is from Stoke.
No, he's not. He's not.
He grew up in Stoke.
Yeah, but he's from London.
He's
Hampstead, I think, I read.
Yeah, and he's got family in Nuneaton.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
But still, cooler than Robbie Williams, yes.
Yes, definitely. 100%. Definitely.
This album was fucking brilliant.
This is the self-titled... Was it self-titled? It's the one with the gun, like, chamber on the front, yeah.
Fucking great. Two Sides is a great track. Biggest and Best is a fucking amazing track.
I remember that one. Yeah.
When I went and saw them at Wolverhampton Civic, all of their synthesizers broke when they started doing that track. And Zach Tell was like, it's a bit fucking ironic that we're about to do a song about how we're the biggest and best, but all of our shit just broke. Because I saw them loads of times and they were amazing. I saw them at the Rigger in, not Stoke, but a town very close to Stoke.
Okay.
Like when they'd just done Zeros and Heroes or something like that, which was like a later period album, and people kept shouting for Truth, and he was like, no.
Tell me the truth.
We're not going to do that because that's our hit. We'll do that towards the end of the set,
yes.
Children. Like,
you can't argue with a song that has the lyrics, tell me the truth. The truth, motherfucker. The truth. Tell me the truth.
Tell you what, I am still
the truth, you sucker.
Actually word perfect to that. It came on one of my playlists the other day, and I was like, just banging, fucking nailed the whole thing. And I was like, well, that's a thing.
I reckon they'd heard Astro Creep 2000 by White Zombie by
the
this point.
Production on this one is definitely a lot more Terry Dates.
Oh, yeah. Was this one Terry Date as well?
I don't know. It sounds very Terry Date.
Definitely though. Influenced, if not.
And just goddamn, the groove on that is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
The bass player. I know you hate slap bass.
I can tolerate it sometimes. It fits,
like,
there.
It works really well. He's a fucking sick bass player.
Cool.
I love Clawfinger.
As is evident. Excellent. Should we go for the next one?
Yes. Oh, I'm going to love this too.
Yep.
Okay, that was Evil Eye by Fu Manchu. We're fully into Tony Hawk's territory now,
yes.
Aren't we? It was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 this was on, I believe.
It was one of the Pro Skaters, definitely. Yes, you almost get muscle memory with the controller.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, continuing the last track that sounded a bit like White Zombie, this was produced by Jay Younger, their guitarist.
Ah, doesn't really sound like White Zombie, but it is badass.
But it is kind of surfy and 70s and fuzzy as fuck.
You know, Bob Belch went on to make a pedal company.
No.
Yeah, Creepy Fingers.
Oh.
They do a lot of fuzz pedals, which
that
is,
doesn't surprise me at all.
I was going to say, it's going to shock the shit out of you when you find that out, isn't it? I love Fu Manchu.
They're great.
I listen to them a lot. Their cover version of Godzilla is fucking amazing.
I've not heard Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
Oh.
It doesn't sound like... It sounds basically like the original song, but with more fuzz.
More fuzz. They very much very, very, very want to be in 1973, don't they?
They do. Like, the pictures of them, the music...
Their clothes, it's all like Volkswagen camper vans and...
Yeah, like old, fat, like fishtail skateboards and stuff, like... Yeah, but you know, that's no bad thing. At the time, I was like, oh, for fuck this. People in flares, fuck off.
Even me?
At that time, it was before you were in flares. Actually, you were in combats at this point.
Yeah, I was probably... at that point, I was usually wearing bright blue combats and a bright yellow A t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because I thought it made me look like Rob Flynn from Machine Head in the Take My Scars video.
Which it didn't.
No. But he had got a yellow t-shirt and blue combats on in it.
Mm.
So, yeah, should we go for the next one?
Yep. Full Blood Freak by Psycor. I don't believe this is actually the proper version, you know.
It's not. It is mislabeled. This is Full Blood Reprise.
Ah.
Because Full Blood Freak was about twice the speed and had a lot of other bits, and whereas this is just the one riff.
Great.
I love this.
Everything from Psycor that I heard, I fucking love.
I bought the album off the back of this track.
Is it good?
I liked it at the time. It's quite weird Swedish metal.
Yeah. I saw them supporting Clawfinger and they were great.
Yeah.
The
lyrics on that are Nick from Funkadelic.
Chocolate Milkshake is fucking amazing. Medication is fucking amazing.
Yes.
Like, this track does not represent them well.
No, because it's a lot slower. I at the time expected them to be a sort of Stoner Doom kind of band. And they very much weren't.
Because I'm sure we're going to do an episode on the CD that's got Chocolate Milkshake on it at some point.
They ended up on loads of free CDs around that time, so...
Like,
there's a very
help me,
chance.
Please, I suffer. I need something to drink. Give me
Chocolate Milkshake!
Like, it's just the best song about a hangover ever.
And on that note, let's go on for the next song.
Yes.
Freaky ones. Yes, 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 yes. We're the freaky ones. Yes, yes, we're the freaky ones.
So that was Freaky Ones by Freak Spurt.
Yes.
They really, really, really liked early Incubus, didn't they? I was about to describe them as Crazy Town also-rans, but this would have actually
this
been
before Crazy Town. And to be honest...
They sound like they copied Crazy Town, but in a shitter way.
I see Incubus, early Incubus, was very...
The more new metal Incubus. Like, they sound like a lot of shit that was going...
Science hadn't been released yet.
Oh, damn. What?
I don't think.
Where did this come from, then?
Faith No More. You know, where Incubus got it from. Mr. Bungle.
Just badly.
Yeah, but they were... Every single town in the country had bands that sounded like this.
Yep, and they all had that...
Occupational Hazard. That's who this reminds me of, who we used to end up gigging loads with at Rouge and Red
Rose
Theatre.
They were a lot more industrial. I actually liked Occupational Hazard more than this.
But
I have fond memories.
It's really fucking dated, this song.
So dated.
And
like, that riff. I used to love the songs that did that.
Yeah.
But this one didn't go into a big fuck-off riff after that. It was just like, we're doing this bit.
Yeah.
Because it usually used to be the precursor to a big fuck-off, like, beat-down riff. And they didn't do that here.
And I don't think they released much after this one EP. They might have done another couple of things, but I couldn't find anything of interest. The only fact that I found is their drummer, whose name is Tank,
of course,
was in a band called Seventh Angel,
which is
a
terrible
Christian
name.
Metal band.
Well, okay then.
Always a mark of quality for your metal there.
In it.
So that's the last audio track on the CD.
Yes.
So there was also a video, a bonus CD-ROM video track of Cold Chamber's Loco,
which I will definitely have watched and been very excited about, because I was really excited about Cold Chamber at that point.
So was I.
And I don't get it. Like, I put the album on a few months back, and Loco is good.
Yeah, which is this one.
Sway is good.
Yeah.
I
remember quite liking Big Truck.
Yeah, but it's not good, is it?
It's not.
And then we went quite a few...
They're objectively shit, but I loved them at the time.
Like, they've got good riffs, and also they had Raina, and she was lovely.
It was the obligatory female bass player thing that nu metal bands, a lot of them had.
I saw them supporting nu metal... New Metal.
Supporting New Metal.
They did support New Metal. Yes. I saw them supporting Machine Head.
Right, yes.
When Machine Head did The More Things Change.
Yes, so that will be about 2 months before I saw them headlining Wolverhampton Wolfram with Human Waste Project.
They blew up very quickly.
Yes.
I
think that tour was on sale for them playing the same... Was it Wolverhampton Wolfram or the Civic?
Yeah, it was the Civic.
Right, okay, so they were playing the smaller one.
Because Machine Head were obviously...
Yeah.
Much bigger.
Yes.
I also met Sharon Osbourne. Des Fafara introduced me to Sharon Osbourne because I was chatting to him at the tour bus, and he was hey, Sharon.
She was their manager.
Yeah. I'm like... yeah, because he is, right? He's a fucking lovely dude.
Yeah.
I let him sign his own page in my CD, and he's like, oh, dude, that's so nice. Because the rest of the band had signed really big, and he was like, oh.
I'm going to give you your own special page, Des.
Dude, you can turn the page. Yeah. I was basically stunned because Raina previously had said that I got a sexy voice, so I was like, this is amazing. Everything is amazing.
Brilliant.
Should be pointed out that I was definitely a virgin at this point. That was the most exciting thing that had happened to me in a long, long, long while. Yeah.
Great. I think we'll probably end the episode on that.
Yeah, why not?
Brilliant. We'll be back next month.
Gotta say, we did well to not mention that poster.
We did. Should we mention it?
Yeah,
now?
Look, the poster was in every teenage boy's
bedroom.
It was Amy Echo from
Human Waste Project
kissing Raina from Cold Chamber.
Yes.
It was a very staged kiss.
Yes.
But when you're a 15-year-old virgin, you just... And, like, internet is 56K.
Internet wasn't even a thought for, that kind of thing.
No, he's like, I've downloaded half a picture, I can see a nipple, this is exciting. So this was, like, basically inheriting, like, everything you ever wanted. And also it got a picture of Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray on the other side, who was...
For the ladies.
Objectively a very handsome man.
Yes.
Also quite funny.
Yeah.
I saw a few interviews with him. Thought he was a cool dude. Didn't want his face on my wall, though.
No. I think that was an easy decision to make.
He got to look at the paint.
Right. We'll be back next month.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.